But after a period of time, and it's not so long, you know, those angels that come to our rescue, they have to go back to their normal life. And that's what we're starting to see now, where, you know, the media moves on, the volunteers have to get back to their regular life, you know, other things happen, and we're all still here, and we're nothing's any better.
Today on Dirty Linen, we are heading north to Lismore, a town which has been in the news in Australia and all around the world for devastating floods that came through not once, but again. We're chatting to Brad Rickard, who owns three restaurants in Lismore. Brad, welcome to Dirty Linen.
Hi, Danny. Thanks for having a chat today.
Well, you know, Lismore was all over the news, and then as is predictable in this, you know, short, fierce news cycle that we have, it's dropped off a little bit, but I'm sure you're still in the thick of it. And, you know, it's important to, yeah, stay in touch, stay engaged with the long process of recovery. How are things in Lismore at the moment?
Look, tough. So for a lot of the business community and a lot of the residential community down in the low areas, the flood affected areas, there's still a lot of people without electricity. So, you know, just in reference to our own situation, our three venues still without electricity at the moment. So we've been unable to really commence any sort of construction or rebuilding process. It took probably close to 6 weeks for like the electricity provider to do the main repairs, and now we're going through the task of rewiring circuit boards and you know, circuits as required. So we're 2 months in, we've got no power. So I suppose that's one of the first hurdles. Around the town in general, there's a lot of boarded up shops. I'd probably say 95% or more. I think what people probably don't understand is that every business in Lismore was affected. There was very, you know, you would have been lucky if there was 1 or 2% that weren't flooded. So it's pretty devastating. The piles of rubbish have been picked up for the most part, which I don't know, like, you know, it's a relief in one sense, but it does allow you to see through past the piles of rubbish into the actual damage and the work that, you know, lays in front of us.
I mean, it just sounds absolutely devastating and actually impossible to continue with life. I mean, with so many businesses closed, I mean, how is daily life continuing if it is?
Look, it's impossible to sort of explain to people from afar the extent of the damage and destruction. So, you know, you see it on the news. And we see tragedies around the world all the time on the news, but the reality is until you're standing there in front of it, you know, looking at it, smelling it, you know, seeing it, you can't really comprehend. So it's, you know, it looks bad on TV and it's 10 times worse in real life. In terms of the way forward, I mean, you know, as a business, we run the three venues. We've got 30 staff. You know, I had to make the decision to, you know, encourage the team to go and get jobs where they can, because, you know, the timeline for recovery is unknown. And, you know, those are the team. You know, I've got an amazing team. So, you know, very, very qualified, very sought after. So they've all, you know, the ones that want to jump straight back into work, they've fell into work, no problem. A few are choosing to have a bit of time off. But for myself and other business owners, we're sort of stuck at the moment. There's a lot of, Yeah, business owners in general, small business owners, we do what we do because we like solving problems. We've got high energy levels, we're hard workers. And so our natural instinct is to want to jump in and get to work and start fixing things, making decisions, moving forward, whatever that, those choices are individually. But at the moment, we're sort of hamstrung by a lot of moving parts that are beyond our control. So, electricity and services, plumbing, stuff like that. There's insurance, and whilst insurance isn't a realistic option for a lot of people in Lismore, just it's too cost prohibitive because it's on a floodplain. A lot of potential grants or assistance that may be available or may not be available through the government can hinge on getting that rejection letter from your insurance company, which of course, we're 2 months in. A lot of people haven't seen hydrology reports, so we're sort of waiting on insurance outcomes. So the government has announced a number of grants for residents and businesses, like small businesses predominantly. We don't currently qualify for a small business grant because of our staffing levels being above the threshold. There has been announcements on grants beyond the small business, like up to medium and large businesses, but they were announced 5 weeks ago, but purely just an announcement, so nothing's actually happened about that. And whilst we shouldn't base our decision to reopen, purely on, what assistance we can receive, it is an important part of the rebuild, because the reality with Lismore or in any business district or any area, when disaster like this happens, there's just not enough private capital to be able to undertake a rebuild at a private level. So, no one's sitting on the hundreds of thousands or the millions of dollars required, for an unforeseen natural disaster, of this scale. So we are sort of, we've got no power, we've got no word from insurance, no word from the government. It's hard or impossible to access trades. Supplies with trades, every week, every day, every month that goes by, our staff, move further away, and maybe become harder to get back as they get on with life. So there's a lot of challenges in front of us. And as a business owner, it's hard to know where to start, to be honest.
How are you coping with this incredible uncertainty that's just everywhere you look? There's no answers no matter which direction you look.
Oh, I won't lie to you. I'd love to be able to say that I'm doing well under the circumstances. Unfortunately, it's not the case. It's been really hard. I suppose to try and do the things that I know that I can do. Try and fill in some time with things that I enjoy. And then also, we're 2 months in, zero income. We've still got bills to pay. We've got mortgages. I've got a family. So, in light of the fact that we don't have the information to make decisions, and realistically, the repairs are so extensive that we need to undertake on the buildings that, we're months away from any potential reopening. We're starting to hit the job ads and think, okay, well, how do we feed the kids keep the lights on, but somehow try and remain available enough to undertake the reconstruction, you know, into the future. So how am I doing? Geez, pretty average, I'd say. Just doing it, getting by. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about that.
Tell us about the three businesses, Brad.
So our largest venue is the Bank Cafe. That's been running for over 10 years. We've been running it for eight, and that's, you know, it's a bit of a mainstay in the community amongst, you know, some of the other really large cafes. Probably about 85 to 100 seats, full service, sort of breakfast, lunch, 7 days. Yeah, in an old 100-year-old bank building, hence the name, the Bank. So we wash the dishes out in the old strong room. An offshoot to that is our Piggy Bank, which is a grab-and-go sort of CBD lunchtime sort of food, Monday to Friday, fast and furious style sort of thing, which we prepare in the cafe and then deliver it on site to service the business community. And then we have our casual fine dining restaurant, the Loft Restaurant, which has been awarded Australian Good Food Guide chef's hat the past 4 years, which we're really proud of. That's probably seats about 45 people. We just do Wednesday to Saturday nights there, and it's a small team. They work together for the whole week and have grown together over the years. So, you know, in the cafe, it's a big building, big 4-meter ceilings, set on one of the highest spots in town. We had 3.6 meters of water in that venue, and the Piggy Bank and the Loft both received 5 meters of water. So the Loft, the whole building pretty much in its entirety, went underwater, unfortunately. So yeah, the whole lot went swimming. It's in one of the lowest spots in town, unfortunately. Yeah, so we've got three businesses there. We've got 30 people off work.
Yeah, just devastating. Yeah, I mean, it's I can hear as you speak about those businesses, and you know, as with all small businesses and all restaurants and cafes, you know, there is so much that goes into running them day to day and week to week and year to year, and you know, of course, your precious staff. It must be just so devastating to see them disappear.
It is. It's, yeah, the staff are devastated, especially the core staff. Like, you know, we all know, I mean, this is a hospitality blog, so, you know, any listener will know the sort of churn rate on staff in hospitality, but we're really proud of the fact that we've been in business for like 8 years, and our average staff turnover is about 6. Like, and we started with the cafe, we moved to the restaurant, and then we started the offshoot, like the takeaway venue from the cafe. And, you know, we were running a coffee distribution business at one point as well. And so what I essentially created was too much work for myself. And that allowed me to, you know, really lean on the team. And, you know, with amazing people around us, like we built this amazing, you know, these amazing businesses, and, you know, like all of the senior managers were on, you know, profit share. So it was more than just a job for a lot of people. There was, you know, our contracts were sort of deemed as non-equity partnerships. And so, you know, whilst I retained all the risk and all of, you know, the capital, you know, these guys were getting shares in profits and, you know, really well rewarded on a week-to-week basis as well for the industry, and certainly in regional New South Wales. So, you know, these guys have all taken a hit, not only on their career progression, you know, their bank accounts, and just like we created this enormous, amazing family where we were able to, you know, get through a lot of challenges that a lot of teams don't, you know, because we're all very committed to one another. So it's sad for all of us. My history in Lismore. So I'm originally a Melbourne boy. Grew up in Melbourne. I'm actually a diesel mechanic by trade, which people sort of laugh at when they hear that. But been in Lismore for 10 years and spent a couple of years fluffing around, hitting the coast, surfing after, you know, having a big stint of working as a tradesperson and, you know, doing various travelling and bits and pieces. And I'd worked hospitality, like a lot of people, off and on. And I just saw – I wanted to get into business and I saw an opportunity that I thought I could bring a bit of I wouldn't like to say that the Lismore cafe scene was tired because I think, you know, everyone does well in their own right. But I saw an opportunity to bring something from the outside in and really thought I could make a go of it. And we did. And, you know, we nearly tripled the revenue of the cafe when we took over the restaurant. We've nearly tripled the revenue there. We've been able to start another venue from scratch. So look, yeah, as a small business owner and especially a hospitality business, you know, cafe primarily in a small country town, you become a really big part of the town. You know, you're sharing with all the sports clubs and the fundraisers, you know, you're donating vouchers, you're attending, you're a big part of the scene, and it's a really rewarding business to run in a country town or any community for that matter. But especially in country towns, I think, you know, the hairdresser and the barista, you know, are leaned on by, you know, many a people in the community for a chat and a shoulder to cry on at times.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's it. And I feel like, you know, a place like the bank is, you know, if it was open now, you know, people would be there in community, you know, sharing their hard stories, supporting one another. Those businesses are so important when the community goes through something like this. But, of course, the thing that you've all gone through means that it can't be.
Yeah, and there's not really any other options. A few places have popped up, you know, selling coffee with generators and, you know, slowly clawing back, you know, some muffins here or banana bread there or something. But, yeah, there isn't that place for people to meet and to sort of forget for a little while. Like the cafes, because it's this old bank building, it's not al fresco. Like we occupy the laneway next to the building for our outdoor dining, you know, which has its own really great appeal. But when you walk in and close the door, you could be anywhere. It's a really welcoming environment. It's a very safe and open environment. And it's a place where you can just go and disappear and forget. And, you know, although the town is in ruins, you know, if we had those doors open and people could come and sit down, you'd sit down for an hour or two and you'd forget until you walked out the door again. Sort of like when you walk out of the cinema during the day and you're sort of blinded by the light and you're like, oh, geez, I forgot about that. The cafe really offers that place to sort of escape. So it's a shame. You know, there's a lot of great messages come through constantly from customers. You know, like we're storing a lot of our equipment in customers' businesses and garages and things like that. You know, because you know, we're a big part of their lives. They're a big part of our lives. We know everyone by name. We know what they drink. They know what they eat. You know, we know what school the kids go to. We know where they went on holidays because they sent us postcards. So, yeah, we're all missing that. We're all missing that deeply.
There's been talk about shifting at least some of Lismore to higher ground. I mean, tell us about that part of the conversation.
Yeah. Look, I can see the sense in it, but I can't see how it'll work. And, I mean, the timelines on shifting, you know, a town of 25,000 people is long. And so people have to get on with it, like between now and then. Like I'm not opposed, yeah, I'm sure that any future developments will be high and dry. But, yeah, in the immediate term, like, yeah, you've got thousands of businesses that are affected, you know, self-employed that, you know, employ thousands and thousands of people that have to make a go of it now. So whilst, you know, I don't even know how the logistics of that would work. You know, you've got property owners with, you know, what up until a couple of months ago, you know, were quite valuable assets. You know, how do you say to those business owners, the property owners, oh, well, look, you know, we'll build you a new shop. It'll be ready in 10 years if you want to hang about. Like, I don't know how you shift a town. And shifting a town, like, I mean, that's a 20 or 30-year process for a town the size of Lismore. So I understand, you know, the question being raised, but I also don't understand, like, I don't really know how logistically it would happen.
I mean, can you, let's say you got the insurance money through tomorrow, or you got the sufficient grant money through tomorrow, and you could start rebuilding or, yeah, redoing the loft properly. It's on in a low-lying part of town. I mean, how would you be able to do that with confidence?
Well, the only confidence would be that there'll be another flood. So, yeah. So, look, the insurance thing, I mean, we're all just waiting on rejection letters, which is just like rubbing salt in the wound, to be honest. And they call you and they ask questions, and then they send hydrologists out and all this sort of thing. And it's painful and it's emotional and it's really, yeah, it makes you quite angry. But ultimately they'll come back and say no. So that's fine. The government stuff, if that came through and we were able to, you know, with the addition of government grants and our own funds, if we were able to get back into business, would we do it? I think people would be within their rights to not do it, because the reality is it's a bad decision. Like, it's crazy. If you put it on paper, you know, it doesn't pass the pub test. There's going to be more floods. There's always a bigger flood, so they say. You know, for my situation personally, you know, I'm without income. I've spent 8 years, you know, investing and in the businesses and building a lot of goodwill. You know, up until a couple of months ago, they were valued well for small businesses. And so, you know, walking away is a pretty tough pill to swallow. And walking away to go and, you know, potentially go and get a job, yeah, it's a bit of a, I don't know, people that work for themselves. Yeah, it's not it's not why we do it. So, you know, if we're able to receive some assistance in the rebuild, I think that we will, one by one, try and re-establish the businesses. I don't think they'll ever be the same. All the businesses in Lismore had very thorough flood plans, and we all executed those flood plans. Like, we went through the 2017 flood, like a lot of my peers around town. We went home on the Sunday night patting ourselves on the back, thinking, we got this. You know, we've lifted everything above the 1 in 100 year flood level. With the stuff that we couldn't lift, we've got out. You know, we're on track for coming in. We'll lose a few days trade. We'll hose everything out. You know, sure, we'll have a few losses here and there, but we'll get back into it. Yeah, we couldn't have foreseen a flood that was 3 meters higher than the one we had, 5 years earlier. So, you know, if we go back into business, it'll be very different. The equipment that we'll use will have to be more compact, more movable. You know, the furnishings will have to be harder and, you know, more washable. And perhaps that we go back into business just with that part of the expectation of what we're going to have to deal with in the future, and we update our flood plans. And we try and reestablish some income, try and reestablish some employment for the team. You know, it's hard to think we'll ever get the 30, you know, back to 30 staff members anytime soon. It's hard to even know when we'll be able to open the doors again, to be honest.
Yeah, my goodness. I mean, I would bloody love for you to open and I could come and spend some money in Lismore. That would just be that would be a great feeling. It's just so overwhelming just to hear you talk about it, just to think that you had it all in hand, and then, you know, the water just came through and just, yeah, swept all before it. I just can't imagine how, I mean, you said it at the start, it's like I just can't imagine from this distance what it would have felt like to be so overwhelmed.
Yeah, I mean, like, my partner and I, we try and, you know, you always try and, there's sort of like survivor's guilt to a certain extent. So people that live on the hill, they sort of feel this guilt because they, you know, they weren't affected, they've still got their jobs, or they've got their homes or something like that. Yeah, we lost three businesses, but we tell ourselves, well, geez, at least we've got our home, you know. And we are fortunate that we've still got our home, because thousands and thousands of people are homeless right now. But it doesn't take away from the challenge that we personally have to undertake, and the loss of our family, like our team, and, you know, these relationships that we've built. So, you know, there is a great loss for us, financially and, you know, emotionally, and, you know, that loss of our community is really hard. And, you know, and yes, we're doing it tough. You know, I've got other friends that are in business that have lost their business and their home. So they've got no income and they're paying a mortgage on a house which has to be demolished. And they're homeless. So they're living in a caravan, or they're, you know, couch surfing. So there's just a lot of tough times presently and for some time to come, unfortunately, for the Lismore community.
Yeah, well, you've certainly laid it out for us. With a lot of emotion, and I'm really grateful to you for doing that. Is there anything else, Brad, that you'd like to share with us?
No, look, I don't know. I suppose, look, you know, the reason that we're chatting is because you're trying to bring awareness back to the issue. And, You know, I knew that we'd be at this point, not you and I having a conversation, but, you know, 2017 we got hit and the flood level was 11.6 metres. You know, that was in 2017. The big flood that we just had was 14.4, so it was 3 metres higher. After 2017, we were affected, you know, extensively. But we managed to get back on our feet really quick. We were one of the first cafes to reopen. And, you know, we operated guerrilla style for months until a lot of the other cafes could open, and then we shut down and we rebuilt and stuff. And so having been through the experience before, and I suppose, you know, and not so long ago, you know, the devastating bushfires along the East Coast, you know, and in other parts of Australia as well, that we had a couple of years back. Like, I experienced it firsthand in 2017 where there's this huge influx of energy and altruism and volunteerism and, you know, everyone coming to aid, and it's amazing. You know, they say it brings the best out, you know, in communities and people and stuff, and you do see a lot of really amazing stuff happen. But after a period of time, and it's not so long, you know, those angels that come to our rescue, they have to go back to their normal life. And that's what we're starting to see now, where, you know, the media moves on, the volunteers have to get back to their regular life, you know, other things happen, and we're all still here. And we're nothing's any better. You know, nothing's been solved. Nothing's fixed. You know, we haven't been able to move on. I mean, there's still people that were affected in the bushfires that are living in caravans years later. You know, unable to rebuild their homes. And Lismore, like, you know, thousands of homes, you know, probably 1,000 businesses have all been completely devastated, to the point where they'll need to undertake major reconstruction work. It's not a matter of just a lick of paint and open the doors again or move back in. You're talking, you know, recladding of walls and ceilings and rewiring and plumbing. You know, like, the roads have been torn up. The footpaths were torn up by the force of the floodwater. You know, and as the focus shifts away, which is probably human nature, I'm not necessarily being critical. You know, we are still all here, and I suppose we still do need help, and we need to keep some pressure on the decision makers to not forget about us, which I suppose is the big worry in Lismore right now, that, you know, there's an election going on. The focus is being redirected. You know, maybe decisions don't want to be made or announcements don't want to be made because, you know, there's other things on the agenda. But, you know, support needs to come into Lismore and in the surrounding communities now, like, in a big way. And you know, it's being held up. And, you know, every day that passes, we seem to slip, you know, further into the back of people's minds. And yeah, so I appreciate you, you know, making this a topic on your podcast and trying to, you know, put the focus back on businesses and, you know, hospitality and in Lismore as well. So thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Brad. I mean, it's, yeah, hopefully, well, I don't know what difference it's going to make, but it's definitely, I know it's going to mean a lot to people to hear your story and to be able to connect with what's going on for you. I really hope that you guys get the support and the help ongoing that you need. But I'm really grateful to you for chatting with us today on the podcast. Take care and let's stay in touch.
Yeah, my pleasure, Danny. Thanks to you. Thanks a lot.
This is Dirty Linen and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about. hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta at dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you.